The title of my message today is Right Reflections, and I'm going to be reading from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Lord, let us look at these verses. And let us take hold of the fact that we are your representatives here on earth. I am not here to promote my opinions, as strong as they are. I am not here to be ruled by my emotions, but I am here, Lord, to show other people the goodness of Jesus. I am here to love as you loved. We are here to be a light in the darkness, Lord. Darkness doesn't overcome light. Light illuminates the dark. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I do pray for the Middle East, Lord. Pray that you would move on behalf of Israel. I pray, Father God, that your name would be glorified. For Father, I know whichever side you're on in that war, if a Jew dies without you, they don't have eternity with you, Lord. Neither do the Palestinians. The enemy, the devil, came to lie and to destroy. I pray, Lord, that in this season, the name of Jesus would go forth. Lord, forgive us. Let us not sit back and open up our Bibles and look at the verses and say, oh, this is happening, this is happening. No, that's not what we're to do. We're to say, God, send me to preach your gospel. Each second that passes, we get closer to your return. Do we know when it is? Of course not. You tell us we won't. But Lord, let us have your heart for the lost. God is love. Help us to reflect that, Lord. In your name, amen. You know, a few weeks back, I was asked to read these verses in a wedding. It was my nephew's wedding. You know, they gave me the verses, a couple of passages, just before the wedding. And I'm reading them over and I'm praying through them. And I knew the Lord wanted me to share them here. Because let me say this carefully. Just standing up in the middle of a wedding and reading these verses is a great thing. But I knew it was more of a ritual rather than life. And I'm not downplaying anything, but what I said is, I mean, so I read these and I've been just going over these verses for a couple weeks. And these aren't verses just to be ceremonially read, but it's a truth that we have to constantly think about and we have to constantly reflect. Have you ever been to, I don't know, a carnival or something and they have those funky mirrors? You know, and you look at the mirror. I remember going to one, I think it was a spaghetti warehouse, and you stand there, and I'm like this tall and four times as wide. Now, I remember this one in South Carolina. I was at, it was really cool, because, man, I was tall and thin as can be. Now, that was a really good mirror. My life is to reflect the Word of God. When I don't reflect the Word of God, I'm like looking in a funhouse mirror. That's not what I'm supposed to look like. You know, we look all distorted. You look short. You look stubby. You look tall. You look thin. We are supposed to reflect the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, love your enemies. Israel, how do you treat Hamas? You love your enemies. Do you think God doesn't want that to apply to those two groups of people? I don't. Now, I'm not against doing what you got to do in war. But you pray for the people first. I remember years ago, I was a school teacher, and about my third year of teaching, one of my former students was out doing a fundraiser, and a guy kidnapped and murdered her. And the family was saved. I remember talking to the parents. The brother went to church here, and we'd spent time together, and they knew Jesus. But I remember what Pastor Paul Wagner prayed when they caught the guy. Lord, move in him or take him out. I don't have a problem with that. What I'm saying is, I hate the evil that's in the world, but I can't be captured by it and take it out on other people. So what I'm talking about today is we have to recognize and reflect the love of God. You know, I read Facebook, and I know people like to vent on Facebook, but you know what we don't get? When we vent about sin on Facebook, we're doing the same thing. We're in sin. How dare you say that? Are you reflecting the heart of Christ? Or are you reflecting yourself? You know, the first point I want to make today is loving God's way is impossible on our own. I need the Holy Spirit inside of me to love some of the chuckleheads that God puts in my life. I got a guy I've been friends with for over 40 years, and he called me up yesterday. You know, I'm out and I'm doing stuff. I'm up in Watertown, and he goes, you know, and he just, I knew I had to answer his call. I love him to death. He's one of my closest friends. And he's asking me about these different things and all the evil and why does it prevail. And Jan, does that word, that scripture you out of Psalm 37 goes right along with it? So I was able to say, hey, you know what, my friend? Because I've shared Jesus with him for 40 years. Your sin is just as bad. If you were to die right now, you ain't going to heaven. You know, he'll call me up, he'll text me during the day, say, I really wish tribulation would come because I want to get rid of some of these morons around here. I say, well, don't wish that too much because you might be in trouble. I see the horrors that take place and some of the things that happen to Israeli people. I don't even want to think about it. It is so ugly. And every day we hear of pure evil taking place. Why would my ex-student be kidnapped and killed? Family that love Jesus. Because Adam sinned. Because Adam sinned. And if you don't have Christ, you're a child of the devil. Not my words. Take it up with Jesus. Either you're for me or against me. But the heart that I have, for we do not war against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I remember when 9/11 hit, and one of the first things I thought was, yes, when the planes hit that building and the terrorists died, they made it face to face with Jesus. But how about all these good people on that plane that didn't know Christ and ended up at the same place? Does that seem fair? No, but Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And what Jesus is telling us in 1 John 4, what God is telling us in these verses, God's love is so much more than an emotion. God's love is a supernatural weapon of warfare. If you want to make an impact in somebody's life, then you love them. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Newsflash, that goes for Facebook too. I got people from Morrisville I'm friends with on Facebook, and let me just say it carefully because I get myself in trouble. They don't think like I do a lot. I'm over here, they're over there, and I read their post, And in my head, I got these really good responses. But I click off, and I don't go to their page anymore because it rises something up in me that's not of God. And I don't want them to give a Beaumont response. I want to give God's response. You know, N.T. Wright wrote, people don't really know who God is until they see it revealed in the life of Christians. Pastor Greg Laurie said, let's be known for what we are rather than what we are against. I'm pro-life through and through. Sometimes I get tired of how Christians respond to the abortion movement, which absolutely repulses me and makes me sick. But I don't war against flesh and blood. You can't get butter from a turnip. If you don't have Jesus, you are deceived and you're controlled by the prince of this world, which is the devil. So it gets us angry, but that anger has to drive us to our knees to pray. The devil is the author of hatred. His goal is to lie, to cheat, to kill, and to destroy. And one of his major tactics that he does against God's people is to move us away from God's way and closer to his way. When we respond with anger, when we call names, when we let people have it, we're not responding in the way of Jesus. We're responding more from the world. Proverbs 15, I quoted this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I remember being in Bible class, Bible school, and Pastor Mike Webster is preaching on this, and he's teaching us about it, and, you know, that's not how I was raised. I was raised like, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If the mechanic does something wrong and charges you too much, man, you do fire and brimstone on his backside. Then God started to show me, how about a gentle answer? Why don't you trust me with how you talk to people rather than trust yourself? And I was amazed. I remember once I was talking to a law enforcement officer on the phone on behalf of somebody else. I asked one question and they ripped into me. And I'm ticked. If you know me, I'm a good responder. I got to learn to shut my mouth. So I just sat there and said, a gentle answer turns away wrath. I didn't say it out loud. I said it to myself. So he got done. I said, man, I'm sorry. Don't know what I did to make you so mad. But boy, you're mad at me. And you know what? He calmed right down. We had a good conversation. When we get impulsive, our natural responses can actually drive a wedge in relationships. I like to debate. And you know, my kids were just laughing about this. When my parents were alive, we'd go visit them, and my dad, you know, my mom would bring up a topic because she liked to debate, and we'd start going back and forth, and my dad would go watch a game on TV, and then pretty soon Carrie and Maggie would follow him, and Melody would go, dude, you're on your own. An hour later, we're still debating. And you know what I learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You ain't debating nobody into the kingdom of God. When you debate somebody, you know what you usually do? You entrench them further in their opinion. So I've learned to be calm, to give them the word of God, and to love them. We've got to recognize who God is. God is love. I like verse 16, the word for love is agape, which means God's nature, his attitude towards his son and to mankind. So we're supposed to love people the same way. John's talking about our interactions with others. Christian or not, I have to reflect Jesus Christ. Maybe you got to bite your tongue, but that's okay. But my nature, the nature of man, can cripple us spiritually, but the Holy Spirit sets us free. If the Son sets you free, John tells us, you will be free indeed. I am thankful that God has set me free from being enslaved to what I say, how I think, and my personality. As time has gone on, more and more, I'm less that person and I'm more who God wants me to be. Look at John. He went from being a son of thunder to the disciple of love. We live in an ugly world. I hate it. It torques me. But I want to respond the way God does. I want to get my hands dirty. One of the things that I've learned as a Christian, when I reach out to people that don't know Jesus, man, your hands are going to get dirty. I've learned when somebody uses a four-letter word, I don't melt. I don't condone it, but I don't melt. When I hear people that say, "Oh, God has put me in some of the most liberal situations," but you know what? I just listen. I give my point of view when it's appropriate, but I don't get mad. On the inside, I might be. But another point I want to make today, what we neglect, we won't reflect. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't pray, if you don't look to draw close to God, you're going to reflect yourself. When I put a message together and I pray, I go through and say, "Lord, the examples I use, let them point to you. The things that I say, let them point to you, God, because I don't want it to be about me and my opinions. I want it to be about the Word of God." I understand the temptation to turn on the news and to think the end is near, that we got 12 and a half hours before the rapture. I'm not making light of it. But it has to move us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was with both of my parents when they passed away. It was just me and my mom in Hamilton Hospital, 1205, December 1st, 2005. My mom had accepted the Lord. She couldn't talk. But I knew the end was coming. I just prayed fervently for her. I didn't debate her. I didn't say, "Now that you can't talk, remember when you used to berate me? How stupid would that be?" Pastor, why are you saying that? Why do we do it? Why do we do it? Somebody thinks that. I prayed for my mom, because I knew she had a relationship with God, but I saw a woman that was absolutely afraid because the last enemy was death, and I just prayed with her until she went home to be with Jesus. That's how we are to act. When I look at these terrorists, and I admit, when 9/11 happened, I wanted to be in heaven because I wanted to see God judge those terrorists. That's not his heart. Love your enemies. See, with my mom, my focus was her eternity, for her to have that peace, that relationship. She accepted Christ. I want to see God move in the heart of these terrorists, which repulsed me, and I want to see them. And I do pray, "God, if they're not going to come to you, take them out, man. If they're not going to let you move in them, then you move on them." But when we neglect drawing close to Jesus, we don't reflect him. We reflect the wacky funhouse mirror image of Jesus rather than the living God who's in my life. I want people to look at me and to get a glimpse of Jesus. I think I shared this a couple weeks ago, but I think it was, I don't know if it's Chip Ingram or what was on their talk. He was talking about his son was living at home, not living the way they wanted him to. He was out of school. He said, "Hey, you give you 48 hours to make up your mind. If you're living here, you're not living this way anymore." 48 hours came. They sat down with him, and he said, "You know what? I'm looking at your lives, and I just see what's supposed to be, and I don't want to move out." So it wasn't them preaching, but the kids saw the actions of their life lined up to what the Bible said. And I'm not saying he became a Christian right then and there, but it's knowing it was something that he could draw near to and to be safe. It's funny, man. The older I get, the more my dad looks back at me when I look in the mirror. I mean, I remember back when I was long, had long hair, I was young, and my dad had short hair and wore V-necks all the time, and I'd say, I'm never going to be like that. But I got the Beaumont jowls. I mean, it's kind of cool as you get. I embrace the stuff. I mean, it's the weirdest things you can do with your face when you get these jowls. Man, I can make my grandson laugh. I just stay out of the way so I don't slap him in the face with them. There's so many issues that divide us. COVID, politics, religion, and sports. You guys would be proud of me. My man, Fran Rowe, he likes this team called the Bills, and yes, we forgive Robin for what she's wearing. So we went to the press box after church last week. Everybody has Bills stuff on. I was one happy boy. Why do you say that? Because Jacksonville won. I only clapped once, and then I was good. I was not in your face, Fran. I was a good guy. COVID, politics, religion, sports. There's so many issues that divide us. I got opinions. Luckily, my wife's up in nursery. She'd tell you, I got opinions. And I think they're from God, even though I'm a fool. That's one thing I can't wait to get to heaven and see how much I got wrong. I mean, I'm going to be amazed at how much God's doctrine doesn't end up with line up with mine. Oh, yours too. I mean, you're not getting out of this either. The days are evil, but we're not called to sit idly by. We're called to engage. You know, I'm praying about some stuff. I had somebody talk to me recently about maybe doing some prayer walks and something. That's been on my heart for over a year. I mean, when COVID came, I had purchased from Tom Rainier this Invite Your One Sunday thing where this is, it's a curriculum where you preach on things and we all invite, we pick one day out of the year, say it's going to be December 1st, whatever, and we invite people to church and we walk around the city and you invite people. We need to engage, New Covenant. If you think the time is coming to a close, we need to be out, not here, but out there. So there are going to be nights, it might be Wednesday night, we say we're not having small group this week. We're going to come here and we're going to have prayer walks. You know what a prayer walk is? You walk and you pray and you can keep your eyes open. You don't have to kneel in front of houses and lay hands on the shingles. You just pray and say, Lord, move in this place. That's okay to do. And we might, somebody talked to me about maybe going door to door. I can tell you that don't work in Oswego, New York in 2023. Unless God tells us to, then I know it's going to work. But I don't like to do that. Oh, neither do I. Newsflash, Jesus didn't really cherish the cross. But I want to have my heart broken for what breaks God's. When I see people doing senseless acts of unspeakable horrors, influenced demonically. There's a lot of demon influence in this world, but greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. We need to take the Bible real seriously. What you neglect, you will not reflect. If Christ isn't your life, then you're going to reflect you. I don't want to reflect me. I want to reflect the living God in my life. My last point, we need to connect the dots. When I was a kid, real little kid, you'd have, go to one, you connect all the dots. Then you'd get this picture. When God connects the dots in your life, what picture do you paint? What picture do you portray? When God connects the points in my life, I don't want it to be me. I want God to connect all the points in my life. And I look at that picture and I see Jesus. That's the goal of my life. Can I tell you, I fail miserably. As I said before, when I'm up here speaking, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to us. God is speaking to this to me as well. You know, verse 17 says, by this love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Confidence means that we are bold, that we know, I am assured, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven because of my commitment to Jesus Christ. You know, Hebrews 2 tells us that Jesus' death sets us free from the bondage of fear. It doesn't mean we're not going to have fear at times, but it means I need to be still. Be still and know that I am God. I can watch the news, I can turn it on, and I can look at this stuff, and it just makes me so uneasy. But I just take it for a while, then I turn it off, then I pray. Say, God, my eternity is secure. This world can't cause me to be afraid. Jesus says, fear the one that can take your soul, not the one that can take your body. I'm paraphrasing. You know, fear in this has to do with punishment, and punishment in the Greek means, in this verse, torment. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What that means is God doesn't condemn me. I'm not getting the death sentence of hell forever, but I'm getting the life sentence of eternity with Jesus Christ. God's perfect love for us needs to be on display, and we need to live differently. Christians, your life should not look like your friends that don't know Jesus. We are to live as He has us. God's love is revealed by His offer of salvation. As I said when I was talking about communion, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. We are to do the same thing. Philippians 2, consider others as better than yourselves. Does that preach in America today? No way, man. We're supposed to put ourselves as many gods. But to those who are listening, I say, Jesus speaking, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I remember years ago, I was done wrong as could be by a believer, a Jesus-loving guy. I went to pray. You know what God said? When I say God said, I'm not saying God said, hey, Dick. It's just something inside me that I knew didn't originate with me. I want you to pray for him. Oh, God, smite him, please. Not what he meant. A little bit of conviction my way. Just a little bit. I prayed, Lord, I want you to bless him. Help resolve this, whatever's going wrong, yada, yada. I just prayed for him. God bless him. And you know what's funny? The more I prayed, the more lighthearted I got. Why? Perfect love casts out fear. The Son set me free. So, we love because He first loved us. As I close with a summary, the days are indeed evil. I am not downplaying anything that's going in the world. I just want a biblical perspective on how to handle it. Satan is wreaking havoc. We see daily atrocities. God's will is for us to respond with the weapons He has chosen. Be careful what your life reflects. Resist using the ways of the world. Last, it takes faith and courage to respond the way Jesus instructs us to. Lord, we come before you right now. Lord, I remember reading these verses as I started out saying at that wedding, and I just saw the life that was in them. And it is appropriate for a wedding. That if I live in my marriage the way that you tell me to, it's going to bless my wife. I don't look for her to serve me and to make my life great. I look to minister to her as you called me to be a servant. When I interact with people in the world in the way that you tell me to, not with compromise, I am not saying that, but the way that you tell me to, and I lay aside my strong-headed opinions and my snarky comments, and I bite my tongue harder than can be, then I'm amazed by how you make a way and I build relationship with people that have lifestyles so vastly different than yours, the way you tell us to live, when they have points of view which is just ungodly. I look at the woman at the well, Lord. Five husbands, she's shacking up with a guy. Not the highest reputation in the community. You didn't berate her. You opened up dialogue and you brought salvation into her. Help that to be us. Show New Covenant Community Church how to reach the community of Oswego. I pray for everybody in this room that in the next 7 days, you would give us opportunity to share our faith with somebody. We don't need to be the master of a pickup line. We just need to say, hey, can I tell you what Jesus did for me? If they say no, we're set free. But I also know that you go before us, Lord. And maybe we do ask somebody, can I share my faith? They say, yeah, no, I'm good. It doesn't mean we're good forever. It just means, okay, not that person, maybe the next. That's where faith comes in, Lord. My natural self, this love your enemy things, is really far from how I want to deal with my enemies. Before I knew you, Lord, I had a reputation that if you did me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong 10 times over. And I love that reputation. Took pride in that, Lord. Then I gave my life to you and I saw that that was evil. That wasn't your ways, Lord. Transform us, Lord, by the renewing of our minds. Lord, we live in a very wicked day. And I do pray for the conflict of the Middle East that it would come to a quick resolution with minimal innocent people being killed, Lord. But I pray that we would see revival on both sides of the fence, Lord God. That people would just come to know you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would just allow us to tell people where we get our hope from, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that our lives would reflect who you are. Forgive me, Lord, for the places where my life reflects Dick Beaumont. I want it to reflect Jesus. Lord, let us have confidence when fear comes and you place somebody in our life to share the gospel with. Our heart is going to beat faster. Our palms are going to sweat. And we're going to be so tempted to be quiet and rationalize it away. Help us, O Lord, to know that perfect love casts out fear and that you have gone before us. When you place somebody on our heart, that means you have gone before us with them, Lord. Help us to trust you. Bless these awesome people, Lord, in your name. Amen. Blessings.